الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Continue reading in the book of funerals, Kitab al-Janais. Kitab al-Janais. And the author, he mentioned a number of narrations, and we have read some of these narrations from them, what had proceeded from the narration of Atiyah radiyallahu anha, whenever Zainab radiyallahu anha, she died, that she was from those noble companions who washed the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we had taken a number of benefits with regards to that. And before we proceed, there was another benefit, Annie, that's very important with regards to this narration. And that is that with regards to washing the deceased, the man will be washed by the men, and the woman, she will be washed by the woman. And this is one of the benefits and the rulings that is derived from this narration, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not wash his own daughter, and neither did any of the men. Rather, the women, they took care of that. The women, they took care of that. And at the head of them was Atiyah radiallahu anha. So therefore, the women, they washed the female. And a man is not allowed to wash the female. A father will not wash his daughter. A brother will not wash his sister. This is not allowed. Only the female will wash the female, and the male will wash the male. So for example, a mother will not wash her son, and a sister will not wash her brother, no matter how close they are. And there's only one exception, and that is in the case of a husband and wife. It's allowed for the husband to wash the wife, and it's allowed for the wife to wash the husband. This has been established in the narrations, but with regards to other than that, then the females, they will wash the females. The woman, she will be washed by women, and this is the limit that Allah has set. And likewise, the men, they will be the man, he will be washed by a man. And no matter how close the relative may be, no matter how close of the relationship may be, the male will wash the male and the female will wash the female, except in the case of husband and wife. Except in the case of husband and wife, and Allah knows best. So we continue reading the narrations that we have been reading, and the author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, an al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, annahu qal, asri'u bil janaza, fa'in taku salihatan fa khayrun tuqaddimunaha ilayhi, wa'in taku siwa dhalika fa sharrun tada'unahu an riqabikum. The author, he mentioned now the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, hasten with the funeral procession. Asri'u bil jinaza. Asri'u bil jinaza. And he hastened with the funeral procession. And he hastened with it to the burial. فَإِن تَكُوا صَالِحَةً فَخَيْرٌ تُقَدِّمُونَهَا إِلَيْهِ. Because if this jinaza, if this funeral procession was for a righteous individual, then it's nothing but good that is being presented to, or that it is going forward to. It's only good that it will be going forward to. وَإِن تَكُوا سِوَى ذَٰلِكَ, and if it was other than that, فَشَرٌ تَضَعُونَهُ عَنْ رِكَابِكُمْ, and if it was other than that, then it is evil. And it is something evil that you're getting off of your shoulders. Then it's something evil that you will be getting off of your shoulders. So we see that this is another sunnah that is legislated with regards to the janais, and that is one, he will hasten for the burial. And the people of knowledge, as they mentioned, this also requires to hasten for that which is in preparation of that. And what is intended here is hastening to take the body to the grave and bury it. But also included or understood in that is that one will hasten fi tajhiz al-jinaza kadhalika. في غسلها وكفنها في غسلها وكفنها والصلاة عليها, يعني by washing it and shrouding it, by washing him and shrouding him, and praying on him in the likes like this, and then hastening to the burial, hastening to the graveyard for the burial. So what is mentioned directly here is hastening for the burial. But many of the people of knowledge, they mention also what is understood and included in that is hastening as well as for the preparation. Hastening as well for the preparation. So if a believer dies, they will not delay the washing of the body and the shrouding of the body. And they will not delay the prayer. Rather, it's legislated to hasten, to perform that in the fastest and the most suitable time. And likewise, hastening to the graveyard and for the burial. If there is some type of benefit or a need for a delay, for example, maybe some of the close family members are far away and they maybe need that day, for example, to come in order to attend the funeral prayer and the burial and the likes like this. Or if there's other needs because of criminal activity and the likes like this to verify some affairs, the people of knowledge, they mention it's allowed here to delay. But the origin is that one will hasten with regards to that. And he will hasten with regards to that, and he will be washed and shrouded. The deceased will be washed and shrouded and prayed upon in a timely manner, and in the quickest and most suitable manner as possible. And likewise, taken to the graveyard and buried. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in this narration the wisdom behind that. Because if it's a righteous soul, if that individual is righteous and ennobled in this life and died in that pure state, then it's nothing but goodness that they're proceeding to. So the people of knowledge, they mention from this that the grave of the righteous believer is better for him than this life. It's better for him than the good that he had in this life. The good that he will find in the grave is better than the good that he found in this life. It's better than the good that he found in this life. إِن تَكُوا صَالِحَةً فَخَيْرٌ تُقَدِّمُونَهَا إِلَيْهِ. And if the deceased was righteous and pious, then it's nothing but goodness that you are taking it to, that you are presenting it to. Nothing but good awaiting for it in the grave. So therefore, a believer, he will hasten for his brother or for his sister, for the deceased believer, in this manner, to hasten for that good, to bring that good to them as fast as possible. So this is from the wisdom behind that. وَن تَكُوا سِوَى ذَلِكَ. And if it's contrary to that, meaning it's not righteous, فَشَرٌ تَضَعُونَهُ عَنْ رِقَابِكُمْ. Then it's the evil. You hasten for another wisdom, and that's to get that evil off of your shoulders that you're carrying. An indication that they used to carry the janazah on their shoulders. And this is how they would carry it like this. They would carry it high on their shoulders in this manner. And they would, the fact that they are finished with that and they take that off of their shoulders. And if it's evil, this is beneficial for them. So the first one is for the benefit of the deceased, and the second one is for the benefit of those who carry the deceased. So if he's righteous, then he is hastened to his good, to the good that's awaiting him. And if he's wicked, then he's being hastened so that the people can get rid of him and be finished with him and take him off of their shoulders. Take him off of their shoulders and out of their hands. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So a believer in this life, and this is his case. Either he will die in a state of righteousness, or he will die contrary to that. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And in the hereafter, the grave is only one of these two circumstances. Either he will be going to the good that he had presented in this life, and he will have the good waiting for him from his Lord, or he will have contrary to that. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So therefore, to hasten, and this is the wisdom behind that. To hasten, and this is the wisdom behind that. So again, this is from the beautiful teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to clarify the legislative ruling and to couple that with the wisdom. To couple that with the mention of the wisdom. Hasten to bury the deceased. Hasten to the graveyard and hasten to finish the janazah and hasten to the burial. And then he mentioned the wisdom behind that. So this is a beautiful way. Likewise, whenever teaching and educating and the like and clarifying the rulings, to mention the Islamic ruling and the proper regulation and law, coupled with the wisdom, if a person knows that. Even if a person, he was unaware of the wisdom behind that, it suffices a believer to know that it's the law of Allah, and it's the limit that Allah has set. And this is something that is established in the Quran and in the Sunnah. He will accept that. But the fact that he learns the wisdom behind that, this is light upon light and khair upon khair, and it will make the heart firmer and stronger. But it's not necessary. It's not necessary for a believer, so long as it's established in the Quran and in the Sunnah, and he sees the evidence is clear, whether he understands the wisdom behind that, he will accept it and comply to that. he would accept it, believe in it, and comply to that. And this is the way of a believer. This is the way of a believer. So this is a good way, yani, to teach the people and to cultivate the family. To teach the people and to cultivate the family. Whenever you teach the children that something is haram and not allowed, or something that is impermissible, then you tell them that it's not pleasing to Allah. And you clarify for them the wisdom behind that. And you clarify for them the wisdom behind that. But this takes prior cultivation, that you teach them about Allah, you teach them about the greatness of Allah, and about the lordship of Allah, and about the names and attributes of Allah, and you plant the seed of Tawheed in their heart until they understand that nothing's worthy of worship except for the Creator, and that the Creator, He has commandments and prohibitions, and there are things in this life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves and He likes and He allows, and there are things that He dislikes and detests and does not allow. So whenever this seed is planted in the heart, along with cultivating them upon knowing and loving the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knowing about some of his characteristics and traits and his biography, then whenever you tell them that this particular toy here, or this particular garment here, or this particular website here, or this particular food here, or whatever the issue may be from the worldly affairs, is not permissible and not allowed, you couple that. And you tell them this is something Allah, He doesn't like. So whether you know the wisdom or you share the wisdom with the child or not, it would suffice him. If it's planted in his heart, the love of Allah and the knowledge of Allah, he will say, well, Allah, He doesn't like that. Khalas, and he will leave that. And he will leave that. Then if on top of that you say, because of this and this and this, and you mention some wisdoms and some reason why Allah has declared it to be impermissible or He doesn't like it, now it will be even stronger in the heart of the child or in the new Muslim or even in any one of us. And any one of us. So this is a beautiful way of teaching, cultivating the love of Allah and His Tawheed in the heart, and likewise the love of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the knowledge of his status and rank, and his sunnah and laws and legal ways in the heart. And then also like that, learning the details of the legislation and the laws and the limits that are set, along with the wisdom behind that. And there's nothing legislated in the deen of Allah except there's a wisdom behind that, whether we know it or not. Allah, He is the most wise, and that what He legislates is the most wise legislation, the legislation of mercy and kindness and wisdom and perfection and justice. So we see that here. This is the wisdom behind that. Also from the benefits of this narration, again, from the cultivation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his ummah and his beautiful teaching, that whenever you're teaching the people and there are two affairs, one of them is something beloved and good, and something is praiseworthy, and another one is not. You mention the praiseworthy affair in detail and by name, and as for that which is not praiseworthy and not beloved, you may mention it yani in an inconspicuous manner, not directly. Like here, فَإِن تَكُوا صَالِحَةً فَخَيْرٌ مَا تُقَدِّمُونَهَا إِلَيْهِ وَإِن تَكُوا سِوَى ذَلِكَ فَشَرٌ تَضَعُونُهُ عَنْ رِقَابِكُمْ. So whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned the good aspect, he said, if it's righteous, if the deceased was a righteous soul, then it's good that you're putting it forward to. But if it was other than that, meaning if it was wicked, meaning if it was foul, meaning if it was lowly, meaning if it was something that earned the anger, a soul that died in the anger of Allah. He didn't mention all these details with regards to the foul way, whether he just mentioned it in this manner. أَحْمَلَ يَنِي هَذِي سِفَاتِ الذَّمِيمَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ. Mentioning the praiseworthy traits and then just from the blameworthy aspect, just mentioning it in general and turning away from it like that. So this is a beautiful way. Likewise, it has come yani in the famous narration of Umar radiallahu anhu with regards to the niyyah. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ أَوْ امْرَأَةٌ يَنْكِحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. He didn't mention here again, he left it, yani, the details. Then whoever his migration was to Allah and His Messenger, then his migration is to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But whoever his migration was for a worldly affair or for a woman to marry, then his migration is for what he migrated for. Likewise, in the famous hadith as well, the hadith al-Qudsi of Abi Dharr, Ya Ibadi. This well-known hadith Qudsi, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Allah, he says, Ya Ibadi, Ya Ibadi, Ya Ibadi, a number of times. At the end of this narration, it's mentioned, فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ فَلَا يَلُمَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهِ. And so whoever finds good in his scrolls and in his record, let him praise Allah. And whoever finds other than that, then let him not blame anyone but himself. And he didn't say that whoever finds evil, whoever finds wickedness, whoever finds bad deeds, whoever finds sins and mistakes and actions of disobedience. He didn't mention the details of these affairs like this. And he didn't mention the good. مَنْ وَجَدَ شَرًّا sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't say it here. Here he said, فَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ, whoever found other than that. And he from the khayr. From the khayr, فَلَا يَلُمَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. Then he should not blame anyone except for himself. So sometimes we will teach like that or mention the likes like this. Whenever you mention something that is good and beneficial, you mention it in a brief detail or in more detail. And then whenever you mention something that is contrary to that, maybe you turn away from that and don't mention in detail. And this is not in every case, in every circumstance and situation. Sometimes details are required. Sometimes details are required. But this is just from that methodology in teaching and in educating and cultivating the people. So after this, the author, he says, عن سمرة ابن جندب رضي الله عنه أنه قال صليت وراء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على امرأة ماتت في نفاسها فقام وسطها. So the author now, he mentions the narration of سمرة ابن جندب رضي الله عنه. He said, I prayed behind the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم on a woman who died in her nifas. يعني what is intended here, ماتت في نفاسها يعني حين ولادتها, whenever she's giving birth. He prayed behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on a woman who died while giving birth. She died while giving birth. فقام وسطها. I think there's a mistake in some of the prints we have here, huh? وسطها. لا, فقام وسطها. وسطها. It's come وسطها also, but والله أعلم what is most proper or correct, وَسَطَهَا. فَقَامَ وَسَطَهَا. Some wordings in other than Bukhari and Muslim, فَقَامَ فِي وَسَطِهَا. يعني like this, but وَاللَّهُ عَلَمْ, what is here? فَقَامَ وَسَطَهَا. So he stood in the middle of her. يعني he put the janaza of this woman in front of him and he stood in the middle. صَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ. صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So the benefit from this narration, the ruling that is derived, is that if the deceased is a female, the imam, he will stand in the middle. He will stand in the middle of the body. He will stand, of course, facing the qibla in the middle. In the middle of the, he will put the body in the middle. As for if the deceased is a male, then he will stand at the head of the body. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this likewise, it has been narrated and corrected by Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi. And that Imam Ahmed from the Haditha Anas, and it's mentioned that Anas and أنه صلى على جنازة رجل فقام عند رأسه وصلى على جنازة امرأة فقام وسطها فقيل له أهكذا كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يفعل فقال نعم فقال رضي الله عنه نعم. So it's mentioned that Anas رضي الله عنه, that he prayed on a man. The funeral prayer on a man, and he stood at his head, and then again he prayed in the funeral. He prayed and he leading the prayer. Anas radiallahu anhu. He led the prayer, the funeral prayer for a man, and he stood at his head. And then he prayed the funeral prayer on a woman, and he stood in the middle. And then it was mentioned to him, and he was asked, "Is this the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it?" And he said, "Yes." He said yes. So this is from the evidences. This is from the evidences of that. So wallahu a'lam, this is one of those affairs that it's not clear the wisdom behind that. It's not directly clear the wisdom behind differentiating between the male and the female. Some of the people of knowledge have mentioned in order to guard the woman and her middle portion from those praying behind him, but maybe it's possible if the ranks are long that she could be seen from the side. Or other than that, yani, so it's not really clear the wisdom behind why he stood in the middle, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the woman and at the head on the male. So this is one of those affairs that it suffices a believer to know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he established it this way. So therefore, the wisdom now for us is to follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In reality, this is the test. This is the test in this life. And we'll be asked about that. ماذا كنتم تعبدون وماذا أجبتم المرسلين. What did you used to worship and how did you respond to the messengers? So we're held accountable for that. We'll be asked about that in our graves, about who we worshipped and about who we followed and took as a role model and example, and the legislations that we abided by and that we restricted ourselves to, and the laws and limits that we were upon, and the laws and limits that we were upon. And those three statements, من ربك, يعني من كنت تعبد, who is your Lord, and who did you worship and devote yourself to with servitude and love and submission. وَمَنْ نَبِيُّكَ, and who was your prophet, meaning who was your role model, and who was the one you took as an example and you followed absolutely. وَمَا دِينُكَ, and what is your religion, meaning what was your way of life and the limits and the restrictions and laws that you abided by, that you were upon, and your manners and your conduct and your creed and your belief and your dealings and your contracts when you come and when you go, in public and in private. What was your deen? What was your way of life that you lived upon, and the rulings and the guidelines that you were restricted to when you were alive? So we'll be held accountable for this. So a believer would suffice him to know that this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would do that. But the people of knowledge, as they mentioned, regardless of where the imam stood, on a male or a female, the janazah would be proper, and it would be considered correct. If a person he stood in the middle of all of them, then it would be correct, or at the head of all of them, male and female. And it would be correct. Or if he made a mistake, for example, he thought it was a male and it was a female, he found out later, he stood at the head and not in the middle. All of this is correct. The prayer will be considered correct. It's not a condition. It's not a condition for the prayer to stand in one of these particular spots, but it is recommended and is the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here the fact that it's mentioned here, she died in her nifas. And the nifas originally is the postnatal bleeding. But what is intended here, yani while she was giving birth. This is not yani restricted to this situation. It's just mentioned here that this was the case of this particular woman. This was the case of this particular woman. And he had a qaydun la mafhuma lahu, the people of knowledge, they mentioned. So any woman like this, not necessarily only the woman who died while giving birth, but any woman, this is the ruling. And that is likewise understood from the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu. After this, the author, he mentions An Abi Musa Abdullah ibn Qais yani al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bariya min as-sariqa wal-hariqa wal-shaqa. The author now, he mentions the narration of Abi Musa Abdullah ibn Qais al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he freed himself from as-sariqa, and he freed himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from al-hariqa wa-shaqa. As-sariqa, it's also as-sariqa, the origin is as-sariqa bis-seen, yani, but it has been changed, and this is the Arabic language. Sometimes the seen will change with the sad, sometimes the seen will change with the sad, but the origin of this word is as-sariqa, and then it has also been pronounced like this, as-sariqa, for as-salq or as-silq, yani as-sawt al-shadid, as-sawt al-shadid. So this is the woman who raises her voice and cries and wails out loud. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he freed himself from the woman like this, yani whenever the calamities befall her. A woman, whenever the calamities befall her, she will raise her voice and scream, or she will raise her voice and cry and wail out loud and the likes like this. Yani, so this is what is intended here. As-sariqa, aw as-sariqa, as-silq. Hakam also, فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ الْخَوْفُ سَلَقُوكُمْ بِأَلْسِنَةٍ حِدَادٍ. سَلَقُوكُمْ, in the Quran. سَلَقُوكُمْ بِأَلْسِنَةٍ حِدَادٍ, yani with sharp tongues. سَلَقُوكُمْ, yani so the sariqa is the sariqa, yani التي ترفع صوتها بالويل والبكاء, the woman who raises her voice and she's crying whatever the musibah befalls her. بِالْوَيْلِ وَالنِّيَاحَةِ عِنْدَ حُصُولِ الْمُسِيبَةِ, whenever the calamity befalls. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he freed himself from this woman. وَالْحَارِقَةِ, الْحَارِقَةِ الَّتِي تَحْدِقُ رَأْسَهَا عِنْدَ الْمُسِيبَةِ, تَحْدِقُ شَعْرَ رَأْسِهَا عِنْدَ الْمُسِيبَةِ. الْحَارِقَةِ, she is a woman who whenever she's afflicted with a calamity, the loss of a loved one or the life of a loved one or the likes like this, a great calamity, she'll shave her hair she'll cut her hair and shave her hair and the likes like this. So the Prophet freed himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the likes of this woman. Likewise was shaqa. The shaqa alati tashuqu malabisaha thiyabaha, the one who tears her clothing apart at the time of a musibah. So what is intended here is the woman, but not necessarily the woman. These traits mentioned that, and many times this will occur from the female, but also the male is included. And if he were to perform the likes of these affairs, and what is intended is the one that is unhappy and unsatisfied with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, and at the time of calamity he is reckless or restless, and he does not accept the decree, and he becomes upset with the command of Allah, and he loses control. Yani he loses control of his tongue or his body, or her tongue or her body like this. This is all what is included here. Like the calamity will befall, and they will lose their self, and they will scream and cry and raise their voices out loud and wail and the likes like this. Or they will do something like rip their clothing apart. The people of knowledge, as they mentioned, it's not limited to the clothing likewise. And even if some people, when they become upset or the calamity befalls them, they'll break things or throw things across the room or slam the doors or punch the walls. And they lose control of their self and they destroy things. All of this is included. From tasakhut. Tasakhut bi qada'illahi wa qadrihi. By not being pleased and satisfied, being upset, and not accepting the decree of Allah. So the bare minimum upon a believer, the minimum obligation upon a believer at the time of calamity is that he will be patient. He will hold his tongue from saying anything that is displeasing to Allah, or anything that would display detest or unsatisfaction with the decree and the command of Allah. And likewise, he would withhold his hands and his feet, his body parts. Likewise, they must be restrained, and he must not use them in a manner that is impermissible by showing detest or unsatisfaction or not being pleased with the decree that had befallen. So he'll be patient. A higher level than that is to be pleased with the decrees of Allah Azza wa Jal. But this is not obligatory. What is obligatory is to accept that and to be patient and to know that it's from the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what is intended here. Again, whether if it's a male or a female. The female is mentioned here because many times it would happen from the female. The author, he said, الصادقة التي ترفع صوتها عند المصيبة, the one who raises her voice at the time of calamity. But likewise, the male is included if he was to do the same thing. Or likewise, the one who shaves their hair because of the calamity, or the one who pulls out their hair, or the one who rips their clothing or garments or destroys things, property and the likes like this, out of detest and disgust for the situation that they're facing. This is all not allowed. This is all weakness in faith. This is all deficiency in tawheed. And the obligation of faith and tawheed is to be patient in a time of calamity, and to know that it's the decree of Allah to submit to that, وَمَنْ يُؤْمَنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ, and whoever believes in the decrees of Allah and submits at the time of calamity and surrenders to that, then Allah will guide his heart. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here, he freed himself from the likes of these people. And what is meant? What is it meant? Tabarri. In this manner, or bara'a, men who sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not that he's free from them, meaning that they're disbelievers, but meaning that these people, they have left the path of obedience and they have fallen into disobedience and offered the straight path, with regards to this. Not that they have left the religion. So these are not affairs that would take a person out of the religion, but they're considered from the major sins. What is the proof that it's a major sin? He freed himself from them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he freed himself from them in order to clarify that he's not in agreement with them. He's not pleased. He doesn't accept the actions that they're performing, and he's displaying his anger towards them. Not that he freed himself from them, meaning they're not Muslims, that. But rather, he freed himself from them, clarifying that what they have fallen into is a major sin. And they're in contradiction to the command of Allah and to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But these affairs are not considered disbelief. So it's a major sin. So whenever we see the likes of this, that the Prophet freed himself from a person who did this or did that, or that he says, laysa minni, or laysa minna, or he said, or the likes like this, yani the iman is negated, or he's not from us, or he freed himself from them, then all of these narrations, they have a similar meaning. And that is the clarification that these actions are from the major sins, and that the person who's performing them has fallen into something major. Not necessarily that they fell into disbelief. And so this is the case here. After this, the author, he says, عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أنها قالت لما اشتكى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذكر بعض نسائه كنيسة رأينها بأرض الحبشة يقال لها ماريا وكانت أم سلمة وأم حبيبة رضي الله عنهما أتتا أرض الحبشة فذكرتا من حسنها وتصاويرها فيها فرفع رأسه فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم أولئك إذا مات فيهم الرجل الصالح بنوا على قبره مسجدا ثم صوروا فيه تلك السورة أولئك شرار الخلق عند الله. The author now, he mentioned the narration of Aisha رضي الله عنها, and it's very wise, the mention of this narration now in this chapter. Mentioned the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha about the time whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was afflicted with the sickness that he died in. لما اشتكى النبي أي مرض مرضه الذي مات فيه صلى الله عليه وسلم, meaning whenever he became sick, the sickness that he died in. So this narration here is in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the very last days. It's mentioned that he became sick sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the sickness in the beginning of Rabi al-Awwal. In the beginning of Rabi al-Awwal, in the 11th year of the Hijrah, or in the end of Safar. And either in the very beginning of Rabi al-Awwal or in the end of Safar is whenever the sickness took hold of him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was just days after that he passed. So this is from the last things that he mentioned, from the last narrations that were collected from him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she says that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the sickness that he died in, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that some of his wives, they mentioned the church that they saw in the land of Habasha. They mentioned a church that they saw in the land of Abyssinia. يُقَالُ لَهَا مَارِيَةَ, that this church was called the Church of Mary. وَكَانَتْ أُمُّ سَلَمَا وَأُمُّ حَبِيبَ أَتَتَا أَرْضَ الْحَبَشَةَ, yani those from the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that went to Abyssinia, meaning they made the hijrah to Abyssinia, Salama. And also Habiba radiallahu anhuma. Salama, she went في الهجرة الأولى. And Habiba, she went for the Hijra Athaniya. And there was a Hijra Thaniya in Habasha. They went twice. They migrated twice to Habasha in the same year. In the fifth year after the Bi'atha. And the fifth year after prophethood. So Salama, she went in the first year with her husband, radiallahu anhuma. And Habiba, she went the second year with her husband. But her husband, while he was there, he accepted Christianity and died in that manner. Waliyadu billah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent for her and sent for her hand while she's there, and married her while she was there, Habiba. Salama, her name is Hind. Bint Abi Umayyah. Hind bint Abi Umayyah radiallahu anha. And Habiba, her name is Ramla bint Abi Sufyan radiyallahu anhuma. Abu Sufyan, his name is Harb ibn Sakhar. Harb ibn Sakhar radiyallahu anhu. Naam. So both of them, they were in Habasha, and whenever they were there, they witnessed a massive church, and that was decorated and adorned and beautified. Yani and the likes like that, it had lots of decoration. So they mentioned about the beauty of it, and how it appeared, and also the statues that were there. At this time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he raised his head. At this time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he raised his head, and he said, وَلَئِكَ إِذَا مَاتَ فِيهِمَ الرَّجُلُ الصَّالِحُ بَنَوْا عَلَى قَبْرِهِ مَسْجِدًا. That these people here, those people that you saw there, that whenever a righteous man from amongst them, anyone they considered righteous, dies, then they will build on top of his grave a place of worship. Masjid yani ma'bad. And they will build a place of worship on top of his grave. ثُمَّ صَوَّرُوا فِيهِ تِلْكَ السُّورَةِ أُولَٰئِكَ شِرَارُ الْخَلْقِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. And then they would set up those statues. First is a grave of a righteous person. This is what they would do, those Christians. The grave of the righteous, though they consider to be righteous, and they will build on top of it a place of worship. Then they will put inside that place of worship statues. The Prophet ﷺ, he said about them that these are the most evil of the people with Allah. أُولَٰئِكِ شِرَارُ الْخَلْقِ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Here I mentioned أُولَٰئِكَ, huh? But وَاللَّهُ عَلَمْ أُولَٰئِكِ بِخِطَابِ النِّسَاءِ. أُولَٰئِكِ. These are the most evil of the people with Allah.
The dead person or the person who built?
The ones who built. Okay. Those who built. No, the ones who built. The ones who built. He's referring to those who built the place of worship and set up those statues. And in Wallahu A'lam, the word is tasawir. The word is tasawir. So what is included in that is the statues and likewise the images. And the tasawir is the plural of surah. And he mentioned here, fihi tilka asura. Any of these images. But the surah that people of knowledge, they mentioned, is two types. Suratun laha dhil, wa suratun laysa laha dhil. The type of surah that has shade and the one that doesn't have shade. Understand that? The one that has shade is called a timthal. It's called a statue. Type of picture that people will make them. He'll make a picture. He'll make a surah. But this particular picture that has shade, and it's a statue. Meaning it's a statue. They'll carve it out of wood or out of rocks or stone and the likes like this. Like this. And they'll carve it. Another surah likewise, biduni dhil, is the one that you draw on a piece of paper. That one has no shade. That's also considered a surah. That's also considered a surah. All of this is impermissible. Yani whenever it's something of a living being, something that has a soul in it. So this is what was there. They would do the likes of this. They would put statues or even drawings of individuals or of people. We know what they do. Yani alhamdulillah, we have experience with the likes of that. They'll put in their churches, they'll have statues of what they claim to be angels. And there'll be men and there'll be women, and even many of them now, that even in the churches, some of them they will be indecent. Wariyadu billah, they'll be indecent, not even having proper clothing on. Not even having proper clothing on and the likes like this. Wariyadu billah. In any case, this is the issue. So these people here, they gather between two types of fitna: the fitna of the grave and the fitna of the statues and the pictures. The fitna of the grave and the fitna of the statues of the pictures. The point is, the Prophet ﷺ said these individuals here, they're the worst of the people with Allah. Yani meaning on the Day of Judgment, that they're the worst of the people with Allah. And then likewise, the author, he mentioned another narration, wa anha, and also from Aisha. قَالَتْ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فِي مَرَضِهِ أَلَذِي لَمْ يَكُنْ مِنْهُ. And also she said, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا, that the Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ, he said in his sickness that he did not get up from, meaning in the sickness that he died in, صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. Meaning again, yani from the benefit of mentioning this is from the last things that he mentioned. And the last things he clarified, and that these affairs, they are definitely not abrogated. These affairs, they're definitely not abrogated. This is not something that came before and then was mentioned a different ruling that changed the issue later. This is from the last things that he mentioned. And likewise from the first and the last things that he called to and that he warned from. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the case. He said, and from the last things that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la'ana Allahu al-Yahuda wa al-Nasara. May the curse of Allah be upon the Jews and the Christians. Again, why? Mention the wisdom behind that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد. They took the graves of their prophets as places of worship. مساجد يعني معابد. يعني as places of worship. They took the graves of their prophets as places of worship. قالت ولولا ذلك أبرز قبره غير أنه خشية أن يتخذ مسجدا. And yes, some of the word is likewise, يُحَذِّرُ مِمَّا صَنَعُوا. يُحَذِّرُ مِمَّا صَنَعُوا. He's warning from what they did. And he do not do that with my grave. And the intent from that. Yani that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, may the curse of Allah be upon the Jews and the Christians. This is whenever he's dying, whenever he's sick. And it's mentioned that he went through great pain. And that the matter that the hardships that he faced in this sickness up to his death was in a great manner. He would pass out and he would be going in and out and he would be sweating and he would put something wet on his face and covering his face with a towel, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that hardship, he's warning from shirk, particularly graves. He's not warning. He doesn't mention here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calling on the grave. He didn't say, may the curse be of Allah be upon those who call on the grave. May the curse of Allah be upon those who worship the grave. Nah. What does he say? Those who build places of worship on top of the graves. Those who build places of worship on top of the graves, they're the ones who are cursed. They're the ones who are the evilest of the people. So if that's the case for the people who just build places of worship on top of the graves, how about those who worship the grave? Ayyadhan billah. So we see from the last words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam these affairs here, that he's warning from building places of worship on top of the graves. Building places of worship on top of the graves. So in the first narration, the author, he mentioned the issue of the this is with regards to the righteous man. So whether it's a righteous man, like what they say today, the wali, for example, the wali, or even if it's the prophet, a prophet, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned from here, all of this is prohibited. All of this is prohibited, rather from the greatest of prohibitions, because of what it leads to. And this is from the evidences that the people of knowledge mentioned with regards to Sadd al-Dari'ah, stopping the avenues. So the reason why it's impermissible to build on top of the graves is because of what it leads to from worshipping the graves and calling on others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the case. And even if a person didn't build on the grave, but he went to the grave to pray, praying is not even allowed there likewise. He would take it as a masjid, taking it as a place of worship. That's why, and those people who believe, for example, that if you go to this particular grave or that particular grave, the dua has a better virtue there. The dua has a better virtue there. This is an innovation. This is an innovation. Some people that believe that the dua in the grave of so-and-so is better and more virtuous and more probable to be answered than the dua in the masjid from the masajid of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the likes like this. This is from the innovations. And then worse than that is what they do from making tawaf around the graves. They'll build buildings on the graves and then they wind up making tawaf around the grave. And then worse than that, they wind up calling on the one in the grave and begging the one in the grave and slaughtering for the one in the grave. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited this affair for. And we see it very clearly. Many times we'll find in the evidences in the Quran and the Sunnah that maybe something itself will not be mentioned as a prohibition, although shirk has been clearly prohibited. But here the issue is not the prohibition of shirk, but it's prohibition of what leads to shirk. Likewise, the prohibition of fornication. La taqrabu zina. Don't come close to it. So this is cutting off the means that lead to it. And then what happens if they build on the grave? If they oppose the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they build on the grave, now what happens? We see it, we witness it, the wisdom behind that, because of what is happening today. People, their hearts, they see this big shrine, this beautiful shrine, and it's all decorated and colorful. And then they see it, and they're like, oh man, the one in there, he must be special. And next thing you know, they start calling on it and praying to it and slaughtering for it. And then it's already known previously for hundreds of years and still to today that one of those who have their hearts attached to that grave, if you catch him in a business transaction, you tell him, swear by Allah. He'll swear by Allah, huwa fajir. He'll swear by Allah while he's lying and he knows it. And then if somebody were to say to him, which is not allowed, but if they were to do it, they would say, swear by the wali, swear by the man in the grave. He will not do it. He will say, actually, I was lying. he will not do it. He fears the man in the grave more than he fears Allah. He will lie by Allah. I swear by Allah. And he will lie and he knows he's lying. But then with regards to the wadi, with regards to Badawi, or with regards to so-and-so, or so-and-so, and so-and-so, they will not do it. Because of the fear in their heart and the reverence in their heart that has overcome the tawheed of Allah in their heart. And this is a major shirk. This is major shirk. They slaughter for the grave. They go around the tawaf in the grave. They're from the worst of the people. If this is the case, the worst of the people here is the one who build the grave. And they're the first ones, the Rafidah, they're the first ones, the Rafidah and the Jahmiyyah and the people of innovation, they're the first ones to build the shrines. The first ones to build the shrines. The first one to build the shrines. And if we look, likewise, those who follow that, they're best friends, huh? The Sufiyyah. The Rafidah and the Sufiyyah, they have so much in common. And they support and aid one another. So much in common in their creed. So much in common in their methodology. They're hand in hand. Like this, especially against Ahl Sunnah. And then even on top of that, the Kufar, they're the ones who aid them. The Kufar, they're the ones who aid them. And if you look at any Muslim country that has been colonized, specifically by France, for example, or by Great Britain, and the likes like this, look at the countries that have been colonized. They call it colonization. That have been colonized by France. Look at all the graves in those countries. Look at all, they're the ones who promote that. They promote Sufiyyah. They promote the Rafidah. They aid them. They support them. Why? Because they know that it's falsehood. And so long as the Muslims are upon that way, they will never go straight. They will never be victorious. So long as they're spinning around dancing, calling on a grave, they will never have victory. The Kufar, they know this. The Kufar, they know this. Those countries where the Muslim lands, now that like their second language after Arabic is France. Look at all the graves in there. Look at this, how the Sufi is there. Some of them you can't go to a masjid except you find a grave there. Or the people, they won't even want to go to the masjid, rather they will go to the grave before that. And the likes like this, and the misguided thoughts, and the misguided creeds, and the misguided ideologies that are in these countries specifically. Why? Because the Kufar, they know that that's not Islam. They know that that's not the correct way. They know that's not the way to get victory, to have aid and to have success. Allah will not aid us until we leave this way. We leave this way. And this is from the aspect of completely destroying the religion, building the shrines. What happens? The Tawheed is gone entirely. This is their aim and their goal. They want to take Islam out of the hearts of the people. That's what they have done to them. There's no Tawheed in that heart. The heart that is calling on the grave, the heart that is calling on the grave, that swears by Allah lying and will not swear by the grave lying. Where's the Tawheed at? Where's the Islam at? Where's the deen at? That's no deen. That's the deen of the mushrikeen. Waliyadu billah. This is their goal and their aim is to strip Islam out of the hearts of the believers. To strip Islam out of the hearts of the believers. We have to understand that. These are from the goals of that. This is from the goals and the aims of that. Waliyadu billah. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم استعان.